Thing to my, I've been speaking for some time about three particular things. I think that most of us in here would remember what they are. You're just going to remind me now. Someone will remind me. What are those three key things? Hands up. Yeah. Okay, hands up. Yeah, most. In the back there. Brilliant. Good job. And another clever young lady. Look, isn't that lovely? The children. Hands straight up. I like that. Confidence and remembering. Well, that's right. So, worship, prayer, and then the word. And we added something last week, didn't we? What did we add? Evangelism. So those three are the things that benefit us directly. I'm talking about directly. They benefit others indirectly. But us directly, those three, we benefit directly from. But evangelism benefits someone else. So the key to this is this. We are built up in our most holy faith. Yes, speaking in tongues builds us up in our most holy faith. But look, these three activities we know from the scripture build us up, build the inner person up so that we become strong, so that we have then an ability to evangelize. Because you see, when it says in Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to do what? Power to paint, power to evangelize, power to go and be my witnesses, it says. Witnesses, and that explosive power to be witnesses. Well, so last week I preached that sermon. This is very important for you to understand, when we preach a sermon, when the word is preached, even the preacher receives the word. Did you know that? The preacher receives the word. If they're really listening and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, they receive the word when they're preaching. The word is sown in the human heart, Mark 4 teaches. And the word sown in the human heart then manifests if it's good soil. Well, guess what? I've got a testimony I want to share. Because this week, I was in a shop purchasing things for the new house. And as I was purchasing things for the new house, I'd returned to this shop a couple of times, and so I'd spoken to this individual a few times, and we're purchasing things for this for the new house, and I spoke to them, and he's a young man, and he was having some issues in his life, clearly, and then the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And we've spoken about the importance of the gifts. Now, a word of knowledge is very important, because what it does is it very often would prove to someone that the person they are talking to is slightly different to the average person they talk to, because they understand things and there's no way for them to understand it in the natural. So I had a word of knowledge which was very particular to him, and it involved something very important to his heart, and I won't share it with you, but I will say this. Tears started to come to his eyes. It was very direct, very specific, and it was for him. And I spoke it to him. Tears started to come to his eyes. And guess what I did next? I introduced the kingdom. And I explained to him, look, it's not about religion and the religion of Christianity. I said, I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom, teaching the kingdom, the king who has dominion. And I am an ambassador of this king. And now I come into this place, and wherever I go on this planet, I am an ambassador of the king. And as an ambassador of the king, I have the ability to change things. Whatever those things might be that God has called me to change, I have the capacity to change. Because Acts 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the word there, the dunamis power, the explosive power of God, to be witnesses. And a witness isn't just an intellectual thing of, oh yes, I'll talk to you and you'll change your mind. A witness can be, I will demonstrate something, or I will have a word of knowledge, or I will change a situation, change something. It can be all manner of things. This witness is a very powerful thing. A witness of God is a very powerful person. And you and I have been commissioned and anointed for that cause. Isn't that something? So I said to him, the only decision you now need to make, and we're in the shop, yeah, I'm just sitting down in the shop, you know, and there's another member of staff listening, and they say, I totally agree with what you're saying, I totally agree, and they're right on board as well. But I'm talking in the main to him. And I said, now the only decision is now that you need to make, you decide what you're going to do with the information that you've been given. It can be just on an emotional level. Tears are great, but that's not what the Bible asks for. And in fact, we've got to watch our emotions. Our emotions can kid us that something has happened when really nothing much has changed. You know, I see it a lot in churches. Some of the churches I used to go to, they would be very emotional churches, you know, and they would extract an emotion out of people. But nothing really changed. Nothing changed. You know, there wasn't a real, genuine shift. There wasn't, let me put it into the scripture framework, there wasn't a true metanoia, a change of knowledge. The word metanoia is the Greek word for repentance. It's a change of knowledge and a taking of this different knowledge. It didn't really change, but people got emotional. But they left the same way because why? They hadn't changed the knowledge base. See, the knowledge base, when our knowledge base is founded on this scripture, real change happens. Want to build a business? Well, get a scriptural understanding of what a business should be built by. And that'll change, that changes the foundation, changes the principles that we employ, changes everything. Anything at all. Want to get an education? Base it on this. It changes then our understanding of it. Wisdom changes it. And I gave him one of these little tracts that we'd written as well. It's a slightly provocative tract. We've written lots of tracts. This one is a tract with a difference because it's written from a different perspective, because all of the other tracts are written from one perspective. This one's written from a different perspective. Are you elect? Because the scriptures teach about elect and election. And we thought, well, let's take it from that angle, because people like to think that they are elect. So let's have a look at it from that. Anyway, gave him one of those as well. And then I said to him, look, do you want to pray now? Let's pray, and you can then commit your life to Jesus. I know that's what you want to do. He said, oh, yes. So I had the privilege of leading him in a prayer to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and live in the power of the Holy Spirit from that moment onwards while I was in the shop. Isn't that beautiful? I just thought that was beautiful. Now, look, I wouldn't usually want to do that. I'm not saying that we should go into shops and stuff, because if it was my shop, I'd want the worker to be working hard, and he's about the business of his work. So this is an extraordinary thing. I don't think that this is a normal thing. I wouldn't want to be evangelizing in shops very often. I'm just telling you what happened on this one occasion. It was an example that proves the rule, so to speak, that we shouldn't be perhaps evangelizing in shops. I don't want us to be disturbing people in shops. They've got their work to do, you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is that on this particular day, this particular man, this occasion, the time was right. It was a divine appointment. Yes. So, and it was right at this particular time. But it's interesting, isn't it? And so we preached about the evangelism on the Sunday, and then I had the privilege of leading this person to the Lord Jesus a few days after. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Beautiful. And then they said, it's fascinating. They said, tell us, we've never heard about this and the way that you've explained this to us. And so they said, you know, we'd like to come along and we'd like to understand more and we'd have to. And I said, you know, we'll have to see now. We'll have to get you over to the house and I'll explain things in more detail. We'll have to set up a meeting at some point. We'll have some Bible studies over there. And wouldn't that be a lovely thing to do? So then I got thinking about some of the other encounters I'd had in shops. Let me share with you this one. This was an interesting one. I was in a shop in Cardiff and I needed to change my phone. So I was with Micah and so we went into the car phone warehouse shop that they have there and went in and spoke to this man. And he looked so glum and he looked so down, you know. And I said to him at the end, I said, hold on a sec. I said, forget about the phone for a sec. I want to know about you. I said, you know, I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I said, I want to know about you. Tell me about what's going on with you. And he told me. And I said, well, look, what's in your heart? What would you really like to do? Do you like working here? He said, not really. I said, well, what would you really like to be doing? He said, I want to be a singer. I said, well, I used to be a singer. I said, so I know a little bit about that. I said, let's have a chat. Tell me about it. And we spoke about his singing. And I told him that he was precious. I told him that God had a plan for his life. I told him that if he just believed, that he would understand the investment that God has made in him. Listen, brothers and sisters, people don't realize the investment that God has put in people. Did you know, for example, you know, Bill, in you, for example, I'll take you as an example. It applies to all of us. If they rolled all the technology of NASA together into one, it would pale into insignificance in comparison to you. The complexities, you know, of your digestive system, of the way that you work and function, of a human cell, the complexities of a human cell. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. So we give all this praise. You know, we see something like, let's say, a nice Rolls Royce, good car. But, you know, people look at it and they say, oh, look at this. This is something so special. Or a jet plane. This is something so special. It's a jet. It's a car. Look at a human being. Now you're talking about something that is fearfully and wonderfully made. But you see, we get it all twisted and get it the wrong way around because we get used to dealing with people. We get used to things and they become normalized. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, watch out that the special things of God don't ever become normalized in your life. Never allow the special things of God to become normalized. Anyway, I spoke to this man in this car phone warehouse this day, and I just poured into him. At the end of our conversation, he was in tears. He wept before me, and I held his hand as he wept in this shop. Another God encounter in a shop. I have a lot of God encounters in shops. I could give a lot of testimonies on this. But this one came to my mind as I was thinking yesterday. Well, guess what happened a few months later? Just a few months later, we were watching, the television was on in the background, we were watching the television, and Micah called me. She said, hey, she said, look, that man you spoke to, she said, in the shop, the man that we spent all that time with in the Carrefour warehouse shop, she said, look, he's on the TV. And there he was singing, Nessun Dorma, as he won Britain's Got Talent. Isn't that something? His name was Paul Potts. A remarkable thing. Well, I don't know what Paul thinks about that. I don't know what it resulted in. I'm not sure. But I do know he'll remember that encounter. An amazing thing. Micah remembered it. Micah remembered him. I didn't remember. But when she pointed his face out, of course, I remembered. What I'm saying is this. Listen. You have been deposited with a tremendous treasure. The treasure of God, the anointing of God is yours. The metanoia, the change of knowledge through the word of God is yours. And so we've now been commissioned to do that. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 3. It says in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that word repent, as I say, metanoia, a change of knowledge. So a change of knowledge is what John the Baptist introduced. John the Baptist says, listen, people, a change of knowledge is needed. So to that man in that shop, where, you know, the Carrefour warehouse or the shop the other day, what I introduced was a change of knowledge. I said, look, there's a change of knowledge that's needed. Your life at the moment isn't what you want it to be. It's not what you hoped it would be. So a change of knowledge is needed, a change of information. So my role is to deposit information, a change of knowledge to them. It's up to them what they do with it. But that's really what this word repent means, a change of knowledge. John the Baptist says it. Now, if you come to the next chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, it says the words of Jesus there, the first words, in fact, of Jesus when he began his public preaching ministry were identical to John's. It says in that verse, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, notice, change of knowledge because, why, religion has come on the scene, the religion of Christianity? No. Change of knowledge because of the kingdom. It's the kingdom message. It's the kingdom that we introduce. The king who has dominion. Dominion over what? Everything. Everything for us. You know, that's why when people say you can't, I just ignore them. They're operating from a mindset that doesn't understand my position. I'm in a very high position. And you are in a very high position. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have been commissioned by Almighty God to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. A very high position, a position of kingdom. God has called us now to exercise that kingdom. To live now manifesting that kingdom. What good would it be if I have all this resource in me and I don't use it, and I don't try and benefit other people? Well, that would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Of course I'm meant to benefit other people. Of course I must use those resources for the kingdom. A change of knowledge because the kingdom has arrived. Come with me right at the end of Matthew's gospel. Let's look. Matthew 28, this is what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, verse 18, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And this is the commission of Jesus. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." I mean, it's not enough for me to say, you know what? Our family, our little family here, we're fine. We're doing great. We're really doing so well. We don't, you know, we're just happy. Listen, brothers and sisters, if I am an ambassador of the kingdom, my desire is for others to do well. I have this desire inside of me for everyone in this room to do really well, to prosper, to be in health and to prosper in life. I have that desire in me for each one in this room and each one in the Tiki Network and each one that wants to be involved with what we're doing. I have that really deep desire. Why wouldn't I? That's the commission of Jesus. So he's saying to us, look, he's saying to us, take this on board. He's saying, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The beautiful commission of the Lord Jesus Christ for us now to go make disciples, but disciplining them into the kingdom, a kingdom mindset, the king who has dominion. Now, what that means is this. You picture, you go in front of the king. A king has a territory on earth. And you go to the king and you say, listen, I would like to do this, this, and this, and this. And the king can say, yes, okay. And the king can commission someone to go and do this, this, and this, and send them. And then they come and they report back to the king, and the king says, yes, that's what I want you to do. And they go ahead and do it under the king's deployment. Well, the Bible says that you have been deployed by the king, who's given you gifts. He's given you particular gifts that perhaps others don't have. Each of us get different gifts, all for the benefit of the church, all for the furtherance of the kingdom. So let me ask you this morning, what are your gifts? And are those gifts being used now for the furtherance of that kingdom? In your life, for the benefit of yourself, as you fulfill God's call, and the benefit of others. It's so simple. But what a thrill to do it. Amen? I'm so thrilled, brothers and sisters, that God has called us to this beautiful ministry. A ministry of the kingdom of God. We see it there in summary in Matthew. And this morning, let's just stand and make a confession of this kingdom. I'd like you to speak these words out as we confess our position in the kingdom. Thank you, Father God. Okay. Thank you, Father. From Romans 10:9, it says this, and let's start our confession now. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I have made that confession. I am saved. And I now walk with God as his ambassador. I will be used by God, and I yield my life to the Word. That the Word of God will manifest in my life. My case is different. My victory is assured. I will walk in his abundant life. Now and forevermore. Heavenly Father, we thank you then that we make this confession before you this morning. And we ask this, Lord, that as we continue through this day, through this week, you'd continue to manifest and quicken to us the gifts that you've put in us and how they are to manifest in and through us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Brothers and sisters, as...